866 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Repairs to an elevated stretch of I-10 freeway through Los Angeles were expected to take close to a month. Less than a week after the arson fire that damaged it, California Governor Gavin Newsom says the road will reopen by Tuesday.
That is a significant improvement on the basis of our original timeline, 3 to 5 weeks. And we're going to do everything in our power to see if we can move that closer.
The arson investigation is ongoing. President Biden and leaders from 13 other nations at the APEC summit have announced a framework agreement on trade-related issues. CBS's Linda Kenyon has the story.
The president said accelerating the clean energy transition in the Indo-Pacific region tops the list. So does an agreement on the supply chain.
To help identify supply chain bottlenecks before they become the kind of disruptions we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mr. Biden says if that agreement had been in place during the pandemic,
we would not have had to lay off so many auto workers because lack of semiconductors and many other examples.
Also in the framework, guidelines on the use of artificial intelligence. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Israeli troops ramp up their sweep of the hospital they believe to be a Hamas command center. And as CBS's Skylar Henry reports,
the Israeli military says troops in Gaza recovered the body of one of the hostages seized by Hamas. Her remains found in a building near Al-Shifa Hospital. Soldiers have been combing through the hospital for 2 days and say they found a tunnel and weapons as well as supplies.
There is an AK-47. There are cartridges, ammo. There are grenades in here.
Hamas denies the allegations.
A federal jury has convicted the man who broke into the home of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and attacked her husband with a hammer. The jury found David DePapp guilty of assault and attempted kidnapping charges. CBS News legal consultant Jessica Levinson says of the defense's argument, it clearly fell flat with the jury.
He didn't go there to try and kidnap Nancy Pelosi. He didn't go there to try to assault an immediate member of a federal official. He went there to try and talk to Nancy Pelosi.
A blistering report from the House Ethics Committee on New York Congressman George Santos is reviving efforts to remove him from Congress. Santos refuses to step down but says he won't run for re-election next year. CBS's Scott McFarland.
They didn't just say he acted unethically. They say he stole money. They didn't just say he had misconduct in office. They say he committed fraud. They said what they found paralleled the criminal case against him.
Angels two-way star Shohei Ohtani wins his second American League MVP award. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
The difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers, potential workers, that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
John Money is back for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers ready to host the Chargers and one of the best passers in the league, quarterback Justin Herbert, Sunday at noon. The good news is that they should have defensive back Jaire Alexander back in the lineup. He was back at practice after suffering a shoulder injury against the Steelers. The bad news is that safety Rudy Ford suffered a biceps injury against Pittsburgh. He missed practice again. The Brewers today introducing 64-year-old Pat Murphy as the new manager. Murphy's always been the glue guy in the Crew's clubhouse. Oh, that changed? I asked GM Matt Arnold.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he has been the glue guy for a lot of years. I think you have a good read on that, and I think it's going to be be on us to all take, our coaches, our front office, everybody to take a bigger role. You know, I think that Murph is going to be up for this challenge. He's been a leader for a lot of years, and so I think we're going to do just fine. It's just on everybody else to step forward and continue to help Murph as much as we possibly can.
Brewers General Manager Matt Arnold with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows around 37, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. High of 45 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. Development in the House of Representatives, you recall that Mike Johnson, in effect, did a Kevin McCarthy and passed a clean continuing resolution. No funny stuff, no poison pills, no right-wing social stuff. At the agreed-upon amount in the deficit extension, I should say the debt extension bill last spring, agreed on between Biden and Kevin McCarthy, huge bipartisan support. Well, the same thing happened here, almost the same margin. 209 Democrats, 150 some odd Republicans, maybe less. And it got done. Well, not all was happy in paradise. The right-wing nuts, and there are a lot of them in that caucus, went ballistic. Because remember, of their caucus, 221 or two votes, they only had 90 some odd voted against it. And these people are angry. They're nihilists. They're vandals. They want to close down our economy. They want to close down our economy because they want chaos. They want to, they think, hurt Joe Biden. They just don't believe in America. In any event, they went crazy. Chip Roy, who's a real piece of work. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but if you do, he has that sort of half beard, maniacal look, got up on the House floor and just ranted and raved. And they got their initial revenge. And this is an example of what we can look forward to coming up. And then I'm going to talk quickly about what we can do to block it. He got up there. He screamed and yelled. Some of the others said, all right, we let Mike Johnson off the hook this time, but if he does it again, he's toast. This is one strike and two strike, three strikes, you're out. It only takes one of them to call the chair vacant. Then they got to vote again. And all they have to do is four or five of them have to say, no, we don't want him, and there's no chair again. That's what they're going to try to do. That's what they're talking about. And they did something. You could call it symbolic. I don't call it symbolic, but here's what they did. What they did was, whenever a bill goes on the floor, whenever any bill goes on the floor, there is a procedural vote first called a rule vote. In other words, these people are so full of themselves, and the Senate's even worse with unanimous consent, but don't get me started on that. That's coming up. But even in the House, they're fancy. They got to go, okay, we're going to vote on a bill. But now let's vote on whether we should vote on the bill. Just so you know, in the rule vote, even though you may have Republicans, or if the Democrats doing it, the Democrats maybe going to vote against it, they want to amend it and all that, you party line agree to the rule vote. So when Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, she had about the same margin that Mike Johnson has, even Democrats that didn't want to go along with it nevertheless said, yeah, that we'll vote for you on the rule vote so we can then talk about it and vote on it. It is almost unheard of for anybody in political party to vote against the rule vote to permit the thing to go to the floor. Plenty of time for them to vote against it on the floor, make their speeches and all that. It's almost unheard of. Well, this time, Mike Johnson was going to put an appropriations bill on the floor. Because remember something. This extension, this continuing resolution, only goes till January 19 for four bills and February 2nd for the other eight. There are 12 appropriation bills. And the ones that expire on January 19, they think are unremarkable. Agriculture, military, veterans, military construction, that kind of thing. The big kahunas expire February 2nd, and that's to give everybody a little more time to try to work something out. Well, this time on the rule vote, 19 Republicans voted no on the rule vote. So he could only afford to lose four of them. Nobody ever votes against the rule vote. That's procedural. That's to try to make them look fancy. But this time, 19 people in the Republican Party wouldn't vote for it to knife Mike Johnson. The honeymoon is over. Well, that means that when you pose the rule vote, I mean, the Democrats always will vote against the rule vote of the other side, because some of the bills that they're writing right now to appease the right wing are for less money than was agreed on back in the spring. So 19 of them said no, so nothing happened. They all left early, a day early for Thanksgiving. Hey, wait a minute. Thanksgiving, guys, isn't until next Thursday. What, you want to go deer hunting? I don't think any of them go deer hunting. You want to go buy presents, cook? No, they're not. They just got out of town is what they did. They just got out of town. Now, you got to remember something here in Wisconsin. On the continuing resolution, there were two congressmen that voted against it in this state. Obviously, two Republicans. And one of them surprised me. The two who voted against it were Tiffany. That doesn't surprise me. But Gallagher did. Gallagher voted against it. The rest voted for it. It looks to me like Gallagher, he's essentially a moderate. He says he's a moderate. He realizes he can't get to first base as a moderate, so he's trying to look MAGA. It's not going to work, Gallagher. It is not going to work, because you are what you are and you ain't what you ain't. And just trying to look slightly MAGA to appease whom? What, you think you're going to appease Trump doing that? He can see through you. He can see through you. Well, here's the deal. When they come back from Thanksgiving, it's only a couple of weeks to their Christmas vacation. Then when that's over, they have 19 days in January to pass four bills. Important bills, agriculture, veterans, military construction. These are important bills. What's going to happen is that Mike Gallagher is going to put in, I should say Mike Johnson, I have Gallagher in my mind because he voted against the continuing resolution, but Mike Johnson will put in a bill, and the rumor is that they're writing them to appease the MAGA people. In other words, to take a haircut over what McCarthy and Biden agreed to back in the spring. The Democrats aren't going to put up with that. And then the idea is that Mike Johnson will put in another, some clean bills, plus, I hope, a Ukraine bill and an Israel bill. And I got news for Mike Johnson. I don't agree with him. There are many things I don't like about him, but he's beginning, in my view, to look like a more skillful speaker than Kevin McCarthy. Because he gives the MAGA people some rope, and then he does the reasonable thing, because he has no choice, because the Democratic the Democrats control the Senate and Biden controls the White House. But if he does that this time, tries to put a coalition together of 209 Democrats and 157 or whatever Republicans, the Matt Gaetzes, the Chip Roys, will call it bacon. They'll call us bacon. They'll vote against him for Speaker. And I've got some word to the Democratic Party. This time, don't screw around. Give him the votes you need to put this guy back in. If he's willing to do, if he's willing to, in effect, govern from the middle, as unpleasant as he is on so many other things, like, what do you mean you don't have a bank account? What do you mean you don't believe in separation of church and state? These are core issues, but as long as he doesn't act on them, he can give all the speeches he wants in Louisiana, but we need a speaker who is willing to vote from, or willing to govern from the middle. We go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
It's just a theory, Matt, but here's what I think they're actually really getting scared of. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal, not very much of a Democratic newspaper, right? Banner headline, inflation cools, markets soar. And it goes on to talk about, guy from the federal or U.S. Economist from Goldman Sachs says, it now looks like the inflation fight is over. And there's all kinds of good news. And then the banner headline right under it, why Xi no longer brags about his economy in China. You know, Biden's had so much success that hasn't been properly given credit for. It's unbelievable. But I think they see that it's coming. And they'll do anything to sabotage it, even try and take this country down.
You know, that's a very, very good insight. Yeah, I did see that. And not only we've always said this, that Biden's done a better job on bringing inflation down than any other country in the world. This is a worldwide inflation, by the way. Like in the Great Depression, it wasn't just in the United States, it was worldwide. But that what you are saying, and this is just starting to uptick, is that inflation is basically beaten. Now, there are different sectors. Food and groceries are one sector. Gas, fuel at the pump is another sector. But it's all coming down somewhat compared to what it was. And I think that when we go into the next election, and there's a realization that under Joe Biden, we beat inflation. We did the soft infrastructure, the hard infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, lowest unemployment since the Vietnam War. That is going to resonate with people. And I think you're right that these MAGA types, like the 19 especially, they're from the Freedom Caucus, the 19, who voted against a rule vote to even let everybody talk about something. That's very similar to Senate obstruction. That's similar to, a veto of unanimous consent. I mean, that's saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to filibuster this, so you need more votes. Well, in the House, you don't even get to do it with more votes. And I think that what's coming up, quite frankly, is that Mike Johnson's going to have to do something. And when he does it, they're going to declare the chair vacant, the speakership vacant. And when they do that, this time around, instead of screwing around saying it should be Hakeem Jeffries, which is never going to happen as much as I want it, because he's in the minority, give him the 19 votes. Go to safe districts where people can take it. Give him the 19 votes. Coming up, the Senate passes the continuing resolution, but there was a little stutter step.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, WAUK.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, remember, it's not enough for the continuing resolution to pass in the House. It has to also pass in the Senate. Then it has to be signed by Joe Biden. Joe Biden's definitely going to sign it when he gets back from San Francisco. I just saw his terrific speech out at that conference just now before he went on the air. But it did pass the Senate. It did pass the Senate. And as you know, the Senate has unanimous consent. It has filibuster. I was very afraid that one of them would do it. Tuberville, Rand Paul, one of these people. It passed 87-11. 87-11. Now, I think part of it is that with budget matters, they're not subject to the filibuster. And I believe they're not subject to unanimous consent either. So that is what, that worked out. You still never know what kind of tricks they're up to, but well, it turns out what? They were up to some tricks because it's a budgetary matter and they couldn't stop it that way. A lot of them piled on and voted with the Democrats, 11 didn't. But Rand Paul, what do you think Rand Paul did? Rand Paul put in an amendment with a 15% cut. 15% cut of all this spending. Now, it's bad enough that the deal that Biden and McCarthy agreed to, Biden sort of had to agree to it, was that it would continue to be funded at present levels, even though that meant an inflation haircut, because inflation is there, and even though, frankly, he's done such a great job, inflation is virtually whipped, but you still have inflation around 2%, 3%, somewhere in there. And it should increase by that amount, and it didn't. So in a way, that's what the Republicans were braying like donkeys about. Go, look what we did. We basically cut it 2%. Well, Rand Paul cut it 15%, the whole thing, in his amendment. Now, the good thing about an amendment is that you can talk as long as you want. Unlike the House, you can get up and talk. And if Rand Paul were young and in good shape and had plenty of sleep, he could have talked for 24 hours. That's what they did in the civil rights filibusters. You could try to do that in an amendment. But in this case, I think at some point, there is such cultural and institutional revulsion to screwing around when everybody wants to get out of town for Thanksgiving, that he put it in so he can go back to Kentucky and say, I tried to cut it by 15%. Yes, I did. And then, of course, that got voted down and it passed 87-11. Now, Biden has to sign it. Biden right now is in San Francisco, but I think they can email it, fax it to him. I think he can sign it that way and then do a ceremonial signing back here. In any event, you know what the deadline was? The deadline was tomorrow, end of the day tomorrow. Once again, the Republican Party screwed around, damaged our bond rating, and added to the amount of interest we have to pay on our treasuries for no reason. No reason whatsoever. Just vanity, obstruction, nihilism. No good reason at all. Truly no good reason at all. A lot of breaking news as we went into this segment today, as we went into Matt Flynn Direct today. First of all, the jury just came down in San Francisco. And no surprise, Paul Pelosi's hammer attacker just was convicted on both counts before the jury. And he still has an attempted murder count in state court. The maximum on the both counts that he was found guilty of is 50 years. And I hope he gets it. And obviously, I think he's a little off his rocker. And he'll in California, he'll get mental health care in prison. But he can't be permitted to go roaming around, putting on a unicorn costume, and then going, hey, you know, I just think I'll capture the speaker and break her knees. I mean, hey, you know what I'll do? I feel real bad, about it was Paul Pelosi. I really intended Nancy gets on the stand. Enough's enough. Enough is enough. Another breaking news out there. Do you remember in Los Angeles in Thousand Oaks, the fellow that hit Kessler, that elderly Jewish man, 69 years old, in the face with a megaphone? He went down, hit his head. That individual has been charged with involuntary homicide at this point, involuntary manslaughter, which is what's called the charging decision. But they set bail at $1 million, and they're now revising the charges. And there's a very good chance they'll be charged with a hate crime and a much more severe homicide charge. This has got to stop. Attacks on Jewish Americans here on universities, in parades, sometimes people run to restaurants to try to hit them. That's got to stop. These people have to go to jail for a long time. They have a right to parade, but they don't have a right to parade violently. We've had enough of this, and we're not going to become Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling, Wisco Paul. What's in your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Matt. I just wanted to add one thing here. The person that attacked Paul Pelosi, there's plenty of them out there, and Trump's rhetoric and some of the GOP's rhetoric, it rev these guys up. They rev them up, and then, you know, they don't have any ramifications towards them, but there's damage done. And if they keep this rhetoric, especially with Trump's last speech, he could very well get somebody killed. And he hasn't even held accountable. So that's just this whole thing needs to stop. Okay, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, well, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And also remember something. He did get people killed. January 6th insurrection was him. He was the one who ginned it up. He's the one that sent out the equivalent of a save the date card. He posted, come to D.C. on January 6th. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but it's a very big deal. And everybody, rumors spread. They came with guns. They came from all over the country. They showed up. He ginned them up with a big speech. You've seen that speech. Rudy Giuliani did. Mo Brooks did. All of his supporters. Let's go up there. You got to take your country back. You're not going to have a country. I'm going to go up there with you. Well, a lot of them, I mean, they were the real sociopaths, the killers. And they did go up there. Remember the one guy kind of breaking the glass to get in? And oh, Nancy. And hang Mike Pence. Remember that? Hang Mike Pence with the gallows. Then that one poor cop was thrown on the ground and almost kicked to death. He had a brain injury and he had to retire. The only thing that saved him is he said, I have four daughters. That was Trump's fault. A lot of those people, if the president of the United States says, come up with me to a federal building, they'll go with him. They figure, well, he runs the federal building. He can let us in. It's okay as long as the president's there. Then he peels off and they all go up there and they're in a frenzy. And you're right. He's threatening judges. He's threatening everybody. And I'll tell you what, in the Paul Pelosi case, the continuous attacks on Nancy Pelosi resulted in her husband by a nut getting his skull cracked by a guy who wanted to wear a unicorn outfit. That's what's happening. Well, what is coming up? Some very, very good stuff coming up. News, weather, and a really weird thing with Univision, the great Spanish language TV thing. It's coming up. You should got to listen to this.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. L.A. area commuters are hoping to let the good times roll, like next Tuesday when repair crews are hoping to reopen I-10 in that area where a fire took out a big stretch near downtown. Mayor Karen Bass.
What a gift for Los Angeles to have right before a holiday to know that your commute will be better.
Way better than original fears. In the Mideast war about the efforts to get back hostages taken by Hamas in its terrorist raid into Israel in early October, correspondent Deborah Pato.
Israel is stipulating that accounting for the hostages must be part of the process. And if that takes a time or they can't find them or there are issues around that, that could definitely hold up the negotiations.
The man who broke into the home of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and attacked her husband with a hammer, he is found guilty of federal crimes.
The jury just did not believe the defense's argument that there was this mismatch between the motivation and the crimes that were charged.
Legal expert Jessica Levinson, CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foody.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Department of Workforce Development economist Dennis Winters.
People are getting jobs, they're getting paid well, and hence they're spending that money. And as you know, that's what drives the U.S. economy pretty much.
More than 3 million people are working in non-farm jobs in Wisconsin. That's close to a record. Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany were the only two members of Wisconsin's delegation to vote against a bill to avoid a government shutdown. The bill divides government funding into two portions with new deadlines in January and February. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows around 37, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. High of 45 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC on a Thursday.
DC, tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK, The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC on a Thursday.
DC, tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain goes.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, what is happening with Univision? Univision was a terrific network, Spanish-speaking network, with Spanish-speaking programming. And you may remember back in the 2016 elections, one of their senior people showed up at one of their Trump rallies. And I saw the video of it again. It's absolutely chilling when you take a look at it. And he got up to ask Trump a question. Trump was very, very rude. And he said, "You shouldn't even be here, sir. You don't have a right to ask me a question. Take him out." And the guy continued to speak. This is one of their senior guys. I mean, it'd be like David Muir or something on ABC. And he goes, "Well, Mr. Trump, I'd like to know about," and a couple of guys hustled him out. They laid hands on him. They laid hands on his person, and they didn't carry him. They just kept shoving him out, and he had to leave. I took a look at that, and I thought, you know, that was chilling. That was chilling, the physical removal of a distinguished journalist. You may not agree with him. You may say, "Sir, sorry, I'm not calling on you. I'm calling on that one over there in the pink dress," you know, that kind of stuff. But you don't do what Trump did. That was the first tip off to me, not the only one, but an early one, about how violent Trump essentially was and how he kicked over all norms and not in a good way. Well, there's a piece just now, and this kind of blows me away, and I want to see how this develops. Piece just now, Univision has new ownership, and I'm somewhat suspicious of who bought it, because they are clearly pro-Trump and pro-MAGA, and they've done a couple of things. They do interviews with him and people who support him that are very fawning. They're not doing interviews of Biden or people like that on the Democratic side, and they refuse to broadcast ads for Joe Biden. During the time, this is during one of his rallies in one of the debates, Trump's rally, remember he had a rally that's in parallel to the debate, which he boycotted, and Joe Biden wanted to put on ads on Univision at the time, you know, positive ads about Joe Biden. They didn't run them. Look, networks want revenue. They want revenue very badly, but they wouldn't run them. Then they came out with this sort of lame excuse that, there were some technical difficulties. That's baloney. And apparently, there's another Spanish language sort of, I suppose, mini network, nothing like Univision, that's just outright, sort of like Fox, outright for Trump. Now, here's the deal. People have a right under the First Amendment to set up a network, like let's say Fox. They have a right to have a bad network. They don't have a right to libel people, because then they pay $780 or $90 million in damages. But other than that, their reputation should reflect what they're doing. Univision, I've always had very positive thoughts about Univision. You know, Univision, it's Spanish language. I lived in Mexico as a kid for a year and a half while my dad was doing research down there. He was a professor, and went to Spanish school, a Mexican school, and enjoyed the experience, learned a lot. So I'm disposed to be very, very friendly to that. But they got bought, and I haven't seen any information, any investigative reporting on who bought them, who had the money to buy them. Was it a coincidence that whoever bought them is pro-Trump? Is that a coincidence? Was it a coincidence that this other Spanish language network that's cropped up is pro-Trump? I'll tell you what is not a coincidence. It certainly wasn't a coincidence that they had technical difficulties and didn't broadcast Joe Biden's ads. That's just dumb to even say that. That's not a coincidence. But if this persists. In other words, if the ownership group that bought Univision is actually that way, and they become mini Fox, they become, the word for Fox in Spanish is Zorro. Remember Zorro, the swordsman, Don Diego? Zorro was here. He put on a mask. This is in the 50s. It was terrific. I loved it. Zorro in Spanish, in Spain, Zorro in Mexico. If this should not be Univision, if this should be Zorro, you know, there's a very, very large Latino population in the United States, and we're very glad to have them. I think it's important to get the message out that this is not reflective. What's happening with this kind of thing is not reflective of the reality of politics, good policy, or whatever's in the interest of their community. Go to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Well, I'm wondering, when in the hell are people going to wake up? Taking over news agencies who just coincidentally can't broadcast the ads of opposition, and all the lying that's going on in Congress, and they've got crazies like Mike Johnson running the House of Representatives, it looks like DeSantis. It looks like he's at least not going to run again. If he had any kind of ethics, he'd just say, "Okay, I screwed up," and resign. The Supreme Court's been bought out, obviously. When are people going to wake up and say, this is an attempt to take over the government of the United States and turn us into the policy arm of the extremists? And people just, I can't understand why so-called right-leaning, unaffiliated voters even consider voting for any Republican, given the kind of thing that goes on. What does it take? What do you think it takes to wake people up? I mean, I obviously, I know, I'm aware of what's happening, but and I can't imagine people who watch any kind of news, even going through the internet and all the garbage that's on there, how you can't be aware of this. That just boggles my mind.
Right. No, it's an excellent call. And I'll give you one prescription. I know people, and I'm sure you know people, who intend to vote for Trump, even now. And I know some of them who are actually good people. And I know them well. And whenever you talk to them about it, and I don't get in their face about it, but you ever talk to them about it, they're polite. But they say, yeah, there are problems with Trump personally, but they like his policies. What they're really getting at, in my view, is race and immigration. And that is an undiscussed subject frequently. It's an unstated subject frequently. But when you continually, and this is only my view, but I think it has some legitimacy, when you every night on the evening news, see evidence of more and more people just coming into the country, saying they're refugees, then being released into the population. Some of them being transported to New York, Chicago, the big cities, and going around being put up in hotels, and this keeps going on and on. I think that with a lot of people, there's an alarm, and you can say all you want about how in some respects, that can help the economy. Our immigration over the last, 70, frankly, throughout our entire history, is one reason why we're more prosperous than any other country in the world. But that doesn't translate in the immediate present. It really does not. And I think one of the things we can expect coming up is that, and the Senate has slightly changed on this, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Mitch McConnell and Schumer and a vast majority of Republicans and Democrats in the Senate had agreed on a package of a little over $100 billion for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the southern border. And by say southern border, I'm talking about money for immigration enforcement. There has been a real shift in the last couple of weeks. And it's pretty plain to me that when they come back from the certainly Thanksgiving, but and then starting during December, Republicans are going to demand that there be a link between Ukraine aid and change in policy at the border, not money. Yes, they want money for that too, but policy. In other words, to reduce the number of people that come into the country, because when you come into the country and say you're a refugee under international law, which we subscribe to, you've got to hear them out, and then you can't just throw them out. But what happens when everybody says that? Everybody says that. A refugee is somebody who fears discrimination, usually based on his race and religion. That isn't the case with these people. A lot of them is economic. And it's the economic exigency crisis that brought my ancestors here in the 19th century, and probably most of yours out there too. But back then, you could come into the United States, you could come in a ship, say from Ireland or Germany or anywhere, and dock at the docks in New York, and there's nobody there to meet you or even care about you. And you had your clothes and a few things, and you walked down looking for work and hitched a ride into the city. That isn't the way it is anymore. I think, Jack, that's what it is. I flat out think that's what it is. Thanks for calling. Claire from Sun Prairie, my friend. Thank you for calling, Claire. What's in your mind today?
Hello, Matt. What you don't mention enough, my father-in-law was a political science professor at UW. You'd probably even run into him. He's deceased now. But he told me over 10 years ago that the number one thing that's going to tear this country apart is the abortion issue. Now, I've got a lot of Catholic friends in the Madison area, and I live out in the country, so I'm surrounded with rural Catholics. And I've been flummoxed as to why a lot of them just cannot call themselves Democrats, even though they're fairly liberal-minded, good people. And one of them finally broke and said, Democrats are baby killers. Now, Trump just said it recently. But these people have been indoctrinated their entire lives through their churches that Democrats are baby killers, and they just cannot call themselves a Democrat, and they can't vote for one. And all it takes is 3-4% of the electorate to swing an election. And a lot of these people, this is the way they believe, and it's their single most important issue.
Yeah, that's the abortion issue that you mentioned is correct, but I don't agree with you on the religious part of it. Catholics tend to vote Democratic more than they don't, and more than a lot of other groups. And let me tell you something. The state that has one of the highest percentages of Catholics is Massachusetts, and they vote for Elizabeth Warren and Ted Kennedy. The state with the smallest number of Catholics is North Carolina, and they voted for Jesse Helms. So linking it to any denomination, I think, is incorrect. It's true that the church leaders in the Catholic Church and a lot of other churches take that position. That's absolutely not true in terms of voting patterns. So some of the people that you will see voting, if you took a look at it by religion in this state, there's not a correlation at all, certainly not nationally on that issue. Okay, let's see. Karina, you're on the line, but we're about to go to another topic. So hang on. Do not run away. Calvin will get to you. Calvin will rescue you quite quickly, very, very quickly. Coming up, some good stuff. This is a very important issue. Is the Hamas deal to release the hostages legit or not?
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Medicine Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Karina in Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Karina?
Hi, Matt. Well, you see, this is what it is. I think the abortion and everything what is going on, it's not, in my mind, it's all the symptoms of a bigger disease. Because former president calls a half of a country vermin. We're removing and criticizing abortion on based of religion. We're removing books from schools on the base of a notion to separate differences. We have more hate crime to anyone who is different. We don't want another people in the country with immigration. This is Nazism. The Nazism started, and you know perfectly well, as a democratic socialistic country. The guy came in from the dishwasher who didn't have money and was looking for a good reasons to get that money from anyone else.
Okay, let me just interrupt you right there for a second. A couple of things, just so we're clear on this, on Matt Flynn Direct. Number one, I reject any correlation of an issue with a religion, period. We believe in separation of church and state. We believe in no establishment of religion. And so there is no correlation. It's bad scholarship. So I do not want any of that on this show. Secondly, we are not a Nazi nation. That's ridiculous. Everybody attacks the United States. I'm very, very tired of it. They attack it from the far left. The squad attacks it from the far right. You have them attack it. Tuberville attacks it. A lot of bad people attack it. I do not want it attacked. I'm a Navy veteran, an American. I'm a Kennedy Democrat, and we are the greatest country that ever existed. Is ever likely to exist with the greatest constitution. So anytime anybody doesn't like what's going on here, just travel somewhere else and you will be back here so quick it'll make your head spin. Okay, now, one of the key issues right now and of great concern to me personally are the hostages that Hamas, the sadists from Hamas took after they tortured and dismembered a lot of people, the 240 of them. They are now agreeing in principle to release about 50 of them, roughly, mostly children and women, especially younger children. By the way, they have infants that they kidnap without their mother. They have a three-year-old boy who's an American citizen. Hamas does. And just so we're clear, Hamas is not benign. It's not like, say, Palestinians who just want freedom. They're an Islamic jihad group like ISIS. And they want a caliphate. They want a theocracy. And their objective is the murder of Jews and Christians. So let's be very, very clear about that. Now, what is this particular deal that they offer, because they're not to be trusted any more than ISIS is to be trusted. There's been talk about 50 being released in return for a brief pause in place with aid to Gaza coming in. The Israelis have, in principle, agreed to that. So if Hamas releases the women and the young children, and it would take a pervert and a sadist to want to keep holding on to infants and three-year-olds and women, but they have been so far. Biden is deeply involved in this. The fear is that Hamas lies as a matter of course, and that they won't do it, or they want something more or longer, and so on. The Israel right now, because of all of the international publicity of this, to put everything in perspective, this coming week is going to play footage from Hamas's rampage and the murders and the tortures. You know, it's very ugly stuff, and they're going to play it for UN envoys in New York, to put this all in perspective. But I have a question, and this question has been posed by other people, and there's been a response. Why are there so many photographs? Why are they such perfect photographs? Who were the photographers who just, quote, happened, end quote, to be there early on a Sunday morning when everybody's asleep and nothing was going on? The charge has been made that those independent photojournalists, one of them anyway, had links to Hamas, and they were told to be there, and they didn't tell anyone else. As a result, CNN has cut relations with one of them. To my disgust, the New York Times has not cut relations to them and said they did valuable work and praised them. But do not ask, why were these photojournalists, some of them well-known, just happened to be in this obscure, dusty little town, or these kibbutzes, at early in the morning on a Sunday, when nothing's going on with their gear? It reminds me, and this is a very sad thing, in the old days you would see this in Southeast Asia, Thailand or Vietnam. Sometimes you'd have these people who would set themselves on fire and kill themselves, immolate themselves, like Buddhist monks, to protest a war or something. And there was an instance where a journalist saw that and just photographed it. He didn't know it in advance. But, you know, I think morally what you do is, if you see a guy set himself on fire, you throw a bucket of water on him. You drop your camera. You scream for a doctor. You don't stand there and just photograph it happening so that you can get what? A scoop? A scoop? What kind of scoop is that? It's a disgusting scoop. We're going to the Lions. Carmella Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Carmella?
Hi, Annette. I wanted to talk about earlier you had said that the Biden ads weren't being run on a certain platform. I wanted to bring up, I just read, I believe it was The Guardian, that Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, they're now allowing ads saying that the 2020 election was rigged. And I guess how they're getting away with this is they're not allowed to say that future elections are rigged. And it infuriates me because now other platforms like YouTube.
Right. Carmella, hold on for a second. Calvin, keep Carmella on the line. I want to talk to her immediately when we come back. It's important to me to talk to Carmella. So please hang on, Carmella. I'm fascinated with what you have to say. What's coming up? News, weather, and gag. Tommy Tuberville.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
There's a great test brewing as the Carroll men's basketball team is ready to battle the Falcons of Concordia in a non-conference shootout this Saturday, November 18th. The Pioneer season is underway with hard-fought wins under new coach Taylor Jansen, and Don Brown will have all of the action of every home game. It's the Pios hosting the Falcons this Saturday. Tip-off at 2 p.m. on the Shaw, WAUK, 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. A month and a half into the Israel-Hamas war, hundreds of hostages taken in the early October terror raid remain prisoners.